The views and opinions of the hosts and guests are their own and do not necessarily reflect the position of the management and staff of Guardian Network.
One day, when the glory comes, it will be ours, it will be ours. Oh, one day, when the war is won, we will be sure, we will be sure. Oh, glory, glory, oh, glory, glory.
Hands to the heavens, no man, no weapon formed against, yes, glory is destined. Everyday women and men become legends. Sins that go against our skin become blessings. The movement is a rhythm to us. Freedom is like religion to us. Justice is juxtaposition in us. Justice for all just ain't specific enough. One son died, his spirit is revisiting us. True and living, living in us. Resistance is us. That's why Rosa sat on the bus. That's why we walk through Ferguson with our hands up. When it go down, we woman and man up. They say stay down, and we stand up. Shots, we on the ground. The camera panned up. King pointed to the mountaintop, and we ran up.
One day, when the glory comes, it will be ours, it will be ours. Oh, one day, when the war is won, we will be sure, we will be sure. Oh,
good morning. Welcome to Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. You know my voice already. It's Levin Miller. Thank you so much for joining me. Thank you so much for letting me join you. I think I know what it is you're doing out there. You're out there and you're politicking. Whether it is for the UCP, the UDP, the NDP, the PLP, whichever P you pee, make sure you wash your hands afterwards and you wear your mask because COVID is real. If you're wondering, yes, do not adjust your radio sets. It's me. I'm here. I'm in studio. I'm black. It's all true. I'm not bringing this show live to you today from the car anywhere, at the airport anywhere. And can I tell you, what an interesting time. What an interesting time yesterday. It is amazing to see what happens when we withdraw the labor force from any organization. And if you believe that your organization is so powerful and so mighty that it doesn't need the labor force at any time, I can tell you those people will bring your organization to its knees in a screeching halt kind of a manner. And so that's what happened down there yesterday at the Leonard M. Thompson International Airport while I was trying to get here to you to bring you the show. The people at the airport authority decided no such thing would happen, consequently delaying my flight by God knows how many hours. Notwithstanding that, though, I'm happy to be here with you today. And we're just chopping up some things. I have with me in studio today Obi Roberts. He's going to be my guest. We're going to talk about some of the things as we head towards the last 2 days. The final push before the election is called. The final sets of decisions to be made before the election is called. Some of the things we ought to be considering now that we know we are about 48 hours away. What are the things that you think about as we go to the polls? I want to give you all an opportunity to talk to Obi Roberts because, you know, he and I can talk to one another for 4 hours, and this is only a one-hour show. So let me open the phone lines early. The numbers are 323-622-32325, 4316-325-4259. And I don't know why I couldn't remember them out of my head yesterday, Kermit, because I recite them all the time. They're literally committed to my memory, but I couldn't get them out yesterday. You can text me on 4224796. Do you need the numbers again? Let me give them to you. 323-622-325-4316-325-4259. You can call me on those. You can text me on 4224796. Again, Obi Roberts is my guest. Let me also send a special shout out. I saw Gregory Williams this morning. And I tell you, I believe the FNM waking Obi on me, you know. Because, no, and this is very real. You have to understand that I have a fascination with certain politicians, right? Bradley Roberts, believe it or not, was one of them. I tell people the thing I always loved about Bradley Roberts is I don't know anybody that accounted for public expense better than Bradley Roberts. My most fond time of him was watching him as Minister of Works with Oversight for the Tony William Darlings Highway. And I remember every time he would come to the House of Assembly, he would always communicate on how far the expenditure and the advancement in the work on Tony William Darlings Highway had progressed. And so he would come and say, Mr. Speaker, we've laid 1 mile of road. We've done that over the last 14 days at a tune of some 1,374,586.34. And I was always fascinated because I said, well, where Bradley get the 34 cents from? What exactly did they spend that on? But he was definitely one of those people that would account for the people's money right down to the absolute penny. But I saw Gregory Williams, that's what I'm talking about. And the reason I'm fascinated is because I remember in 1992, at the time I was a Bairntown boy. This was before my migration into South Beach, right before. This was 91, so I'm thinking maybe September or thereabout of 91. No, it was actually 92, right before the hurricane. So about June of 92, the campaign stump was on. And we met the PLP's candidate, who my memory is telling me was Valentine Grimes. And I remember just not being fascinated by him. I thought he was, you know, airy. And then in came Gregory Williams, right? And he was so meek and mild and so humble. And I remember him making a wonderful case to my then mother, who would have been a much younger person. And I said to myself, wow. I mean, that is that kind of teacup politics that touches you in a place that makes you feel like you're the most important person on the planet, right? And so I walk into the door today because I'm almost convinced in my mind that I won't be voting for the FNM this time around, which is troubling to me because, you know, Isaiah Fatania FNM and a Papa FNM. And, well, now I just realize because of the goosebumps on the back of my neck just now when I saw Gregory Williams that I've given these people credit when, in fact, I may very well be a Gregory Williams FNM. And so I saw him this morning. It was titillating to experience. He is one of the people from my childhood memory of the FNM. And so a shout out to him this morning. But Obi is here with me. You all can feel free to give him a call. 323-623-2323-254-316. 325-4259. Obi, I don't know if you just popular or what, because this phone line ain't stopped firing up yet and this text line is going crazy. But let me say good morning to you, sir. How are you?
Good morning, Levan. Good morning, Bahamas. It's always great to be back on Unleashed with you, my friend.
Yeah, you look. I don't know. You look like you straight out of the press shop. I mean, you. I don't know. You look quite polished this morning.
It's a new day.
You look brand new.
We're almost on a new day.
So we go to the polls in about 48 hours, right?
Mm-hmm.
People are beginning to solidify their decisions, their opinions, their thoughts about the administration former, their thoughts about the Progressive Liberal Party's administration former, which of those two things exactly make sense in their mind. I was talking to somebody that I have the greatest respect for yesterday, and they said, you know, when I voted for the administration that is now the Hubert Minnis administration, I voted that because the Minnis administration convinced me that the Christie administration was a band of incorrigible rogues. They were a bunch of men that could not repent. And I bought that. And then 4 years later, whether these are true or not, verifiable, or they at least have the overshadowing of some verisimilitude with regards to whether or not they are in fact factual, right? So they have not been refuted. Adrian Gibson case has not been refuted. Desmond Bannister hasn't refuted the claims made against him, right? And so he says, well, I don't know if anybody or if any of them can come to me now and make the case that Peter or Paul is the incorrigible one. I believe they are all incorrigible men. What I will say, and he says this as somebody that is very involved in culture and sports in this country, what I will say is, for whatever it is worth, over the last 15 years, when I calculate what is important to me as an enthusiast, as somebody that is a professional in the field, as somebody that is adamant about this one facet of my country, sports and culture does far better under the Progressive Liberal Party. That is the assessment that he's made to me, right? Didn't pay him for it. Didn't even ask him for it. Mm-hmm. You know, people talk politics to me. I listen, and then I come and tell you what it is that they've said. That seems to be the general sense of where some people are. What do you say to the people as they go toward the pool now, trying to figure out what are the things that matter to them? What are the things that should matter to them? And how or who or why should they be going in the directions that they're going in?
Levon, very good question. To all who are listening to my voice, take a look. And in the next 48 hours, when you decide or whom you decide to vote for, take a look at the government who presents you with the best plan, mm-hmm. not the best sounding plan, but the best plan. Also, take a look at their track record and their ability to provide and implement policies that transform the lives of Bahamians positively. Take a look at it. You have the two major parties, the Progressive Liberal Party and the Free National Movement. And then you have some third parties, smaller parties, who are also vying to seek to become the government as well. Mm-hmm. I only can speak for my party. And take a look at our track record. take a look at the last PLP government under Mr. Perry Christie and Brave Davis. What we was able to implement. We implement BAMSI. That was to allow us to become food independent and also food healthy and growing food that was chemically free. We implemented the National Training Agency that impacted young people between the ages of 16 to 25 who did not finish high school but was able to obtain a certification in a field of their choice to continue on in their career path, as they like. We also talk about when we mentioned the Junkanoo Carnival. That's one of many. Mm-hmm. You also have the social service or RISE debit card mm-hmm. That we did and help people, the persons could go to the food store and buy things for themselves and give them some dignity. Mm-hmm. These were persons who were facing many challenges. We also purchased 9 Defense Force vessels that also helped the guard our borders and also had a major impact in our fisheries industry where you had some of the members from particularly Spanish Wells who had great lobster seasons, I think in 2015, if I can remember correctly. Mm-hmm. All right, these are just a few things that the Progressive Liberal Party was able to implement to transform people's lives. I ain't got to mention in terms of what happened under the former Minister of Sports, Daniel Johnson, mm-hmm. what he did for sports, the IFFF. We had countless international sporting events held here, beach soccer, water polo, mm-hmm. okay? Which we transformed. We also had a collegiate football game here that was brought in, I think, in 2013 as well. We had a tremendous sports tourism boom in this country that has basically gone to hell in a handbasket under the Free National Movement government. Mm-hmm. Okay? And you take a look at the comparison of both governments. Take a look at what the Free National Movement did when they came in. What they did, they gave the wealthy tax breaks, as we've seen in terms of business license for businesses that earn over $50 million a year annually. And a year later, they came back and increased VAT by 60% without informing the general public, but they didn't even campaign on it in their so-called manifesto. And we take a look at their policies that hurt the small man. Mm-hmm. We saw what they did in terms of weakening the immigration laws to allow non-Bahamians to come and compete in the Bahamas for the same jobs that Bahamians can get. We saw what the Commercial Enterprise Act was all about in terms of persons only could qualify if you have $250,000. And if you had submitted your application after 14 days, whether it was viewed or not, was automatically approved. The average Bahamian doesn't have access to $250,000 to qualify for such.
Now, I want to stop you right there, right? Mm-hmm. The Immigration Act law, the adjustments to it, did you not see them as the government's intent to raise money in a way that didn't come off of the burden of Bahamians? And what I mean is I think a lot of times political parties are disingenuous, right? No matter how you cut the pie, there are only several ways to generate money in a country. Immigrant paperwork is one of them, right? I think...
Work permits?
Yeah, work permits and the processing of permits, the processing of fees, all that stuff, that goes into the consolidated fund. Maybe it was this government's intention.
That's always been their mandate. When the last FNM government under Hubert Ingram, mm-hmm. Brent Simmons was Minister of Immigration then, and he was touting and publicizing how much money they collected for work permits.
But there are people like me that do not disagree with that, as a matter of fact, mm-hmm. right? I believe the Bahamas has a wonderful opportunity to look at somewhere like a Turks and Caicos, right? Where predominantly you do not find Turks Islanders working. Turks Islanders are managers or owners of franchises. They do not physically go to work. And they bring in the Dominicans, they bring in the Haitians, they bring in the Bahamians, and they give them work permits. And what they do is they stay home and collect the money off of the labor of the immigrant population that they have brought into Turks and Caicos. What I'm saying is that's not necessarily a bad model.
Under an environment where your unemployment is continuing to rise, let me also remind you, Levon, this has always been a consistent trend from the Free National Movement. You remember it was them who brought in 5,000 unskilled Chinese laborers in the height of a global recession to work on Bahama when we had many skilled Bahamians in construction.
Well, they brought the Mexicans in Abaco as well.
All right, well, I'm just giving you a trend. Exactly. Mm-hmm. What happened to the Bahamian laborers? What happened to their families? Can't they also have an opportunity to earn a living and take care of their families as well?
Yes, but Obi, I'm saying to you, maybe the difficulty here with us is we continue to try a hybrid model, right? I think Bahamians have got to decide whether or not we want to be the workforce or whether or not we want to be the management and owners of, right? And if we can figure out a way to empower Bahamians financially to the point that they are now the owners, then we don't have to be concerned about them being the workforce. And you could sell the entire workforce out to foreign labor.
Levon, I think most Bahamians, as we've been since majority rule, okay, and the first Pendleton government, as we have implemented Bahamianization, Bahamians want to own their piece of the rock.
Sure.
And they want to be their employers, not employees. Mm-hmm. Some do, some don't. Mm-hmm. But many persons want to control their own destiny, own their own businesses. Mm-hmm. And when you have persons out there who are also academically qualified or skillfully qualified, feel that they're being disenfranchised in their country because foreign labor is coming in and getting the jobs that they can get. Mm-hmm. This is where you see a lot of people are feeling outraged right now in our country. And more and more people just want opportunities. When my movement around the country, young men and women just want opportunities. Because I've spoken to many young men who are academically qualified, but they cannot find jobs that pay them to their academic credentials. Mm-hmm. Same thing with young ladies. This is why we have a substantial brain drain in our country right now, that many Bahamians are leaving and going to the States or other countries to find a better way of living and to get paid their academic credentials.
Mm-hmm. Do you not see one of the challenges with people being able to be paid their worth? Do you not see one of those challenges being the fact that the Bahamian population is still a population that is nowhere near a 500,000, right?
Sure.
When you consider comparably the country that is most equal in size to us, we would consider Jamaica.
No, Jamaica is actually 3 million.
No. I'm talking about in landmass. In landmass, if you stitch every piece, every island in the Bahamas together, we'd be the same size as Jamaica, right? Mm-hmm. Yet their population is 2.6 million people, and they contend that they are underpopulated. Mm-hmm. The question then becomes, how do we, one, with the difficulty of having a population of under a million people in a country where people under 30 are not having children, the average Bahamian is not having a child until they are 30 years old, which means they will more than likely only have two children, where comparably in the 1974 report, I think it is, the average Bahamian was having 5 to 6 children. Mm-hmm. That's not happening. We aren't growing this population at a rate of speed that is consistent enough to carry the tax weight of this country.
You know why, though, eh?
Because of the economics and the cost of living. The other thing is we continue to duplicate resources in a country of under 500,000 people. We continue to duplicate resources because of the archipelagic makeup of this country. I again say to you, right, that one of the ways to fix that problem is to have modest immigration policies that grows the population. But I believe that what Bahamians would like is a population where we imported labor so that the labor of the immigrant can create an economy that allows the Bahamian not to have a job, but to become the owner of something or the manager of something. And I don't know if immigration policies by the FNM aren't. I think if there was a plan to take the Bahamas in that direction, then the immigration policies of the FNM would work. If you're saying to me, and I understand what you're saying, that that isn't the plan, but they continue with that immigration policy, then I'm saying maybe we need to take a look at the plan, Obi.
And let me be clear. I'm not saying I'm against anti-foreign labor, you know. I'm just saying that we must have a balance in which we put Bahamians' best interests first. Many Bahamians don't think that their interests, their best interests are coming first, particularly when it comes to job opportunities in the country. But under this government, and we have been seeing it over and repeatedly in this country, there are decisions that, like for instance, the value-added tax that was increased by 60%. Mm-hmm. We had 1,000 Bahamians that stormed the streets and went down to Rawson Square in 2018 to protest the increase of value-added tax. Mm-hmm. Their cries fell on deaf ears. Then you had persons who lived out east and out west or whatever else who the government sent a letter to increase value-added tax on their real property tax. Mm-hmm. And they only send one letter. Mm-hmm. Not a placard, not hundreds or thousands demonstrating, but a letter. Mm-hmm. And their demands were adhered to, and the government backed off on that. And this is what, and this became public knowledge. A Bahamian sitting there and said, okay, fine. Their matters were addressed just simply by a stroke of a pen. We demonstrated, and our cries fell on deaf ears. Where is the policies that's going to help us? Mm-hmm. We voted you in 35 to 4 large numbers. You said it was the people's time. But your policies hurt the small man tremendously. Mm-hmm. How are we supposed to survive when our $1 bill stretches and I take home less and less out of that dollar bill when it goes to pay this this utility bill or this gas bill or this, that? Bahamians feel right now that the policies under this FNM have hurt the small man. And there's no money on the ground on top of that. So it is not just employment opportunities, but their policies that hurts the small man tremendously over the last 4.5 years that we've been seeing.
I don't disagree with you. I think there is a mild disconnect between the policymakers today and the people of the Bahamas, right? Like, I hear the Prime Minister talking about tax-free building for people that are building in the next 5 years, right?
Some of the comments that the Prime Minister made, I was very disappointed.
I don't know who will be building a house in the next 5 years. Only, apparently, only him one could make more than $1 million. In an economy like this one, right?
Levan, didn't he have an opportunity during these 4.5 years? But you know what the Free National Movement sells? They sell that they speak about Dorian and COVID. The FNM government was elected in 2017, not September 1st, 2019. Mm-hmm. Stop with excuses.
Right. He also talks about VAT-free everything for your building in over a period of 5 years, and that there will be no property tax payable over 5 years. And I get it. In his mind, if we didn't have the money before, we can't miss money we don't have. So if those people do those things, we wouldn't miss the money. And in 5 years, we'll be able to start generating the money. I get it. The question is, mm-hmm. who doing these things? The average Bahamian, Joe Public, don't have no money to buy no microwave with. And the average Bahamian, Joe Public, don't have no money to build no house. So I don't really know who this affects. And if you say to me that this time is for the poor, I imagine that you would be leaning in a direction that actually benefits the poor. Because if you're building a house, you only sound like you're too poor.
Ivan, but this is the nonsense he sold when they first came in 2017, when he was providing tax-free zones in the Over the Hill, when many of the persons over that way are economically challenged. So who is it going to help? It's going to help the persons who come in there, buy property, who have the means. Those taxes would help them, but not the small man who voted them in overwhelmingly.
Yeah.
I also, in this morning's paper, I was very shocked of the Prime Minister's utterance when he was in Abaco, telling them that the PLP would never deliver for you in Abaco. This FNM government did absolutely hardly anything for the people in Abaco after Hurricane Dorian and Grand Bahama. But you go down there when you make such irresponsible comments. Let me remind Dr. Minnis and the Bahamas, it was the Progressive Liberal Party who brought Baker's Bay mm-hmm. to Abaco, Winding Bay to Abaco as well. All right? Those things have been progressing very well and have helped create opportunities, employment opportunities for persons down in Abaco and other things down there. Why you choose to mislead the Bahamian people on incorrect statements that you're making mm-hmm. just to hope that you're going to be elected? Many Abaconians have migrated here in search of survival because they received no help.
Matter of fact, you
just came from Abaco.
The economy in Abaco is bustling and robust. I might as well tell you, I don't want you to believe or to make others believe that the people down there are sitting and sobbing. Oh, no.
And they're doing it without the government, you know.
I understand that. But the people of Abaco have somehow reached into their bag and pulled out a piece of resilience that is almost unimaginable.
You know, Abaco was our second strongest economy, right?
Well, I'm being advised. All of my life, I knew it to be Grand Bahama. But I'm telling you what I see on the ground in Abaco.
Please articulate what you saw down there.
It is almost like a zombie, right? So right next to a very dilapidated building that has been blown away and completely condemned by the hurricane activities, there is a brand new shiny building right next to it, ready to take its place and ready to kind of go about it. You see, there are at least maybe four major plazas down there with, I mean, bustling economy. The nightlife is, the COVID curfew, in my estimation, is strangling Abaco.
Mm-hmm. Yes, indeed.
Especially for people that have had the 2 years that they have had. Mm-hmm. Now there are tourists are on the ground. Well, you can't really tell who is the tourist from who ain't the tourist, because some of those Habaco boys,
you know,
you can mistake them for tourists, right?
Yes, indeed.
But the nightlife is rich. The clinic is magnificent. And so I believe that it can bear up the burden of a COVID outbreak. And when you get into South Abaco, I mean, the economy there, although a bit more sleepy, seems to be equally as thriving. People are out in the middle of the day eating lunch. And if you know anything about Abaco, you know the lunch bills do not come at a price tag less than $80.
Say it again, my friend.
Yeah, the price. If you eat French fries and sparkling water, it'll be $85. God help you if they put loaded fries in there. All right? But so it's not like the people are down there sobbing Sally. No. What they are, though, are they I think they wanted to know that their government cared, not necessarily monetarily. They didn't want to feel abandoned, and I believe some of them do feel that.
Many of them feel abandoned. You know why they feel abandoned? Mm-hmm. When they wanted to take matters into their own hands to rebuild their businesses or homes, they were faced with challenges and obstacles of bringing in building materials and other stuff for them to begin the process as quickly as possible. Mm-hmm. That became a stumbling block for them and a major challenge. And then when you try to reach out to members of whether the member of parliament in the north or the south or the government at hand, they were their concerns fell on deaf ears. So their anger and discontent only grew and got bigger and bigger. I visit down at Abaco quite often. Mm-hmm. I know quite a few people down there in Abaco, both north, central, and south. And South Abaco, all right, my friend, that's PLP.
Oh, the PLP has South Abaco in the bag, and let me tell you, the bag is tight. And the PLP couldn't pay me to say this.
All right.
I've been down to Abaco with my own eye. I don't know, maybe Vandia Stewart is down there doing tabletop teacup politics. I don't know. What I do know is that I do not see and or feel her on the ground. You know, whenever, during these kinds of time, like I drive past Pia Glover headquarters a couple of times, there is another PLP one that always gets my attention when I drive by it, because there's always like electrification around the headquarters. Mm-hmm. When I drove past Vandia Stewart's headquarters, which I did about 100 times, literally it is graveyard quiet there. Nothing. I could smell the burgers grilling. I just can't see no people. I can't hear no movement. There's so she may be inside people's homes. I'm not sure, but I don't see her on the ground. When I got down into South Abaco all the way to Sandy Point, from Sandy Point all the way to Central Pines, which is where it ends, it sounds to me like the only conversation people in South Abaco are having is about their new candidate, John H.W. Pinder. I do not hear any whisper. Mm-hmm. Of the FNM's
I saw videos and pictures of Abaco's motorcade on Saturday that went from Sandy Point all the way up to Cooperstown.
Yes,
and they better take notice of Kirk Cornish in the north as well.
Yeah, I think Kirk Cornish is just not taking a champion like posture against his opponent. Darren Henfield, in my mind, doesn't run into problems until he gets into Central Pines. Remember now, Cooperstown...
Central Abaco.
Cooperstown was untouched. I mean, not a shingle out of place.
Mm-hmm.
All right? You see the catastrophe in Dundastown and Murphytown. I think he's from Dundastown. Mm-hmm. You see the complete collapse of some people's homes. Mm-hmm. I mean...
Right on the waterfront.
The entire house is blown down. Almost like the Big Bad Wolf, right? Mm-hmm. And I'm talking about block and steel structure.
Mm-hmm.
But you drive into Blackwood... You notice the vegetation begins to come back alive, right? You get into the areas like around Blackwood and you see the houses, they all look wonderful. You get into Cooperstown and you cannot even tell that the kind of calamity that happened in Central Abaco happened. The only place I see Darren Henfield further not having any problem is Treasure Key. And I don't know what the Bahamian population there is.
They have been traditionally strong in certain pockets.
Mm-hmm.
But I can tell you this right now. Abaco on the whole is disenchanted with the free national movement. Mm-hmm. All right? And we remind the listening viewers, after Hurricane Dorian, it was Philip Rave Davis and I. Chester Cooper and our party's leadership team that was able to provide clothing, building material, and food to the affected areas of Abaco and Grand Bahama significantly, and provide food for all 39 constituencies in which food was sent there.
I agree.
And all I'm saying is, I just want people to understand in terms of the heart and the compassion that our leader, Philip Rave Davis, had for the people. And this was an opposition.
Obi, I'm saying to you, though, that I think the candidate on the ground for the FNM, that is, I believe he enjoys an affinity from the people. Here is how I have measured it. Every red shirt or flag flying I've heard or seen in Abaco, they appear to only be talking about Darren. Like, nobody talks about the South Abaco candidate. I don't know why.
The South Abaco?
For the FNM. Oh. The only conversation about an FNM candidate in Abaco is Darren, and he doesn't even live there, right? He lives in Nassau. But I'm not sure if that will materialize into the kind of victory he had in 2017. I still believe that maybe the posture of the PLP's candidate just isn't, you know, he's no Muhammad Ali down there. And so I contend that if Darren holds on in the Keys, right, again, a place where people have their own money and didn't need the government's assistance, we tried to get into Green Turtle Key. The problem is the ferry comes back, the last one at 4:30. Mm-hmm. I can't get here 1 o'clock and come back 4:30. So, you know, but if the people in the Keys don't seem to be having the kind of struggle and hardship with the people in Dundastown and Murphytown.
Financially, no.
Right. So if he can hold on coming out of the Keys and get into Cooperstown and pick that up.
Don't mind at all.
Y'all won't be able to catch him.
Green Turtle Key voted PLP the last election. Okay. This is another thing, too. The ground game is on Kirk Cornish's side. Kirk is a ground man.
He lives there.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. And he has a tremendous team down that way that is reaching and touching the people down there right now.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? And where you see the combination of North and South coming together, because they're now beginning to, well, I don't want to divulge the game plan, but I'll just say to you, his game plan is very strong,
mm-hmm.
all right, and almost identical to Mr. John Pinder in the South.
Mm-hmm.
And this is why you saw that motorcade that combined and came together Saturday. Was just one indication to show you the strength.
It was a shot across the bow.
Oh, yes, indeed. And all of Darren Henfield, who is member of parliament and cabinet minister, his
for foreign affairs. So that takes affairs. Him out of the
So order. The thing about it is, we welcome him. I mean, we know cars don't vote, but we know Abaconians, when they come with their politics, they're very serious.
Mm.
And we know how they've been feeling over the last 2 years. They felt abandoned by this FNM government. When you see those, what's those cubes that the government purchased for them?
The igloos.
Even after 2 years, those matters haven't been resolved yet with many of the people who were in need. People still living in Nassau right now who want to go back home and rebuild their homes and everything else, financially challenged, did not receive any assistance from the government in any particular way. So they had to come to Nassau or one of the family islands where family members could welcome them in.
Mm-hmm.
All right? But people just feel angry and frustrated down there. Now, just touched on it. People who had financial means are able to rebuild, but majority of our people are not in that financial
position. And Darren doesn't have those people to worry about, I believe
but,
Darren
but
Henfield,
that's the majority of his votes, though.
I believe Darren Henfield comes out of North Abaco. He might come out naked, but by the time as the votes are counted, I believe he comes out even by one.
He in for a battle, my friend.
Well, he's the military trained him, so he's better strap his shoes tight.
From Crown Haven down to Central Lee for a big battle.
Let's go to a break. I'm here with Obi Roberts. I see the phone lines lighting up, but Obi is in here talking politics with me. I promise I take your calls when I get back from the break. You know me, it's Levin Miller. I'm on Guardian Radio. That means I'm unleashed. I'll be back after the break.
We got McAlpine, and I approve this message.
This has been a paid political announcement by the independent candidate for Pine Ridge.
COVID-19. Do not panic. Be prepared. If you plan to travel, keep updated on travel advisories from the Ministry of Foreign Affairs. Be sure to wash your hands often and have travel-sized hand sanitizers and disinfecting wipes readily available. Keep your distance from persons who are coughing and sneezing. Avoid touching your eyes, nose, and mouth. This can help protect you from COVID-19 infection and other respiratory diseases.
This message brought to you by Bahamas Ministry of Health in conjunction with Guardian Radio.
Always on the go? Missed the show? You can now listen to Guardian Radio talk shows anytime, anywhere on Spotify and YouTube by searching Guardian Radio 96.9 FM or by entering the name of your favorite show. You can also listen by logging on to guardiantalkradio.com and clicking on the podcast tab. Guardian Radio, continuing to provide you with fresh news and smart talk anywhere, anytime, all day.
Hello, Bahamas. My name is Dr. Dwayne Sands. I was born and raised in Centerville, in the heart of the valley, Nassau, Bahamas. I'm a proud Bahamian. I've been fortunate to represent the great people of Elizabeth for the last 5 years. It has always been my dream to serve my country, and I have been involved in the political process on the front line since 2009. I am very, very proud of the support of my family, who have been with me from the beginning and who are still with me to this day. In particular, my wife, Larika, and all of my children. And actually, there's quite a few of them. I'm actually a cardiovascular surgeon. What that means is I take on the sickest people with the biggest problems every day. And so for me, the political process to deal with the challenges facing our country is pretty much par for the course. It's what I do every day. I am happy to be a part of the great team of the Free National Movement under the leadership of Dr. Hubert Minnis. We are indeed Elizabeth Strong.
This has been a paid political announcement by the FNM candidate for Elizabeth.
Thank you for staying with me. Welcome back. It's Levin Miller on Guardian Radio. I'm unleashed. That means it's somewhere between 11 and 12 o'clock. Let me knock out a couple of these text messages, Obi, before the people cuss me out. I want to talk to you, though, about the endorsement from Papa on the Pine Ridge candidate, whether or not you think that'll materialize into anything. I also want to say that I feel so sorry for McAlpine in that regard, because McAlpine is Papa boy. I know how Papa throw rock at McAlpine like that. Unless it means the FNM is running scared and they needed to go reach for Ingram to help them against an independent.
You are correct with that.
I don't know.
Well, you see, well, I'll say this to you. I'm not going to go around Bahama right now. Mm-hmm. Let's deal with Nassau and Elizabeth.
Okay.
Where the little lady, the little dynamite, Senator Joe Beck Colby Davis got Sands, Dr. Sands on the run in Elizabeth.
You think he on the run?
That's why Sands had to go to Papa.
He didn't get Papa.
That's why he had to go to Papa. Right? To help him out down there, because you know what that is?
Mm.
You notice Mr. Ingram did not endorse Dr. Minnis.
Mm.
He didn't endorse the leadership of the Free National Movement. Mm-hmm. He going to help Sands. That's an indication that him and Dr. Sands know that the FNM is going to lose come September 16th.
Mm.
But Dr. Sands want to be one of the few FNM members of Parliament who's left standing, in hopes of him challenging for the FNM leadership.
Mm.
All right, this will be after they run Dr.
This
Minnis.
This internal politics.
Yes, this is after they run Dr. Minnis out of Cowboy Town.
Mm.
All right, but that's the reason why he called for
so Mr. Papa's like the secret weapon.
Well, he's hoping, because if you honestly think if Mr. Sands needed Mr. Ingram, he would have called him.
Well, that's if Papa he, boy. Ingram brought Sands into politics, and so he could say to him, man, listen, I need you to come make sure people know you still on. Because Papa has not given Darren Henfield any endorsements.
Papa didn't endorse him in 2017.
Mm-hmm.
He came on the stage, he made one speech, and then he left. But he didn't come into, he didn't go into Elizabeth at that time.
Mm.
Okay? But Dr. Sands got plenty of problems on his hands with that little lady in Elizabeth culture.
I don't know if I'm counting that one for y'all either.
I tell you right now, she beating that ground very bad.
I got to drive around a little bit.
If you have to go and get the former prime minister to get to maintain your endorsement, what does that tell you, sir? You need overall endorsement from Papa for the entire party, for the people to see that he has some support for the party. Mr. Ingram don't have support for the Free National Movement, nor how they embarrass him and Mr. Christie in terms of not seeking their help and their experience to help with Hurricane Dorian for the country. 80 years of experience in terms of member of parliament experience and 25 years of collective prime minister servicership in this country, and you deny that?
All right. Let me make sure people know. Listen, check out today's Guardian, right? Tuesday, September 14th, 2021, general election tally sheet. It's in there. So when the race to the poll begins, after you done eat the sauce and while you're drinking the beer, you can go and you can tally up who's getting the licks where. They have a complete breakdown of each polling division, each candidate, each party. And on the election night, you can join whomever your election watch cast will be as they tally the votes. You can keep your own tally and provide your own results in the end. Check out today's Nassau Guardian. That's Tuesday, September 14th, 2021, for the general election tally sheet. It's in the centerfold. It's not very difficult to find. This year says, regard the upcoming general election and the slate of candidates of the two major political parties, the PLP and FNM, in my view, there is no comparison in the quality of candidates. I'm not impressed and actually disappointed in the vast majority of PLP candidates elected. It's like men against boys. I compare the many politically inexperienced PLP former high school basketball coaches while offering as PLP candidates to manage our country's affair to the FNM accomplished candidates like the power hitters, the successful businessman, and record-breaking 7 million tourist arrivals, man. Okay. Okay, that's a lot. Let's see what else we have here. This year says, hi, Levan, ask Obi why he didn't get the nomination in Golden Gate. Obi, why did you not get the nomination in Golden Gate?
Because I'm a member of the Progressive Liberal Party. Mm-hmm. I'm a supporter of my leader, Philip Brave Davis, and we are more concerned right now. I'm being a member of the leadership team and leading us to victory. The ultimate goal is, and I want that caller to understand this, the needs of the many outweigh the needs of the few and the one. Mm. I'm a team player within my party.
Okay.
And I understand the importance of winning the government is far more important than anything else right now and unseating the Free National Movement.
To the text writer with the mask question, it's not a requirement and everyone is vaccinated. Good morning. You couldn't remember the numbers because you recite them too fast. Haha. Well, that's how I got to remember them. They are committed to memory. Because I recite them as quickly as I do. So now it's kind of like rhythm breathing for me. Mm-hmm. Good morning, Mr. Miller. What transpired yesterday? Good morning, Mr. Miller. Can you please say the numbers a little slower? I'm not fast like the jitney. 323-6232-325-4316. 325-4259. Hey, Levan, ask Obi again. I just did. Danny Johnson was the best minister of youth, sports, and culture. I don't know if that speaks to the party or the individual itself. He had the sense of purpose and had a team that executed it well. This year says, voting out an administration will not be as important as adhering to health protocols. Let Obi recommend this to the leader. He and Dr. Minnis agreed to a two-day election time frame. If they don't, we will have hell to pay.
Levan, you know what I want to mention in terms of health concerns? Mm-hmm. Take a look at the Progressive Liberal Party. And I would encourage persons who's listening to watch all of the PLP's virtual rallies. Take a look at the difference between the Progressive Liberal Party and the Free National Movement. We have virtual rallies to maintain proper COVID safety protocols. We'll not bring all those people together. Unlike the Free National Movement, who have their rally out by the sports center and all those people there and pass curfew time. This is the government that implemented a COVID safety practice that they don't even adhere to their own rules. And with us right now, we followed the advice of the health experts that advise us that for safety practice of COVID, that the virtual rallies is the best way to go and still get your message out and engage persons through social media. And so we followed their advice. And it's reaped tremendous rewards for us right now. We're just waiting on September 16th and the final results, in which we feel very confident that we'll be voted in as the government.
Mr. Miller, please advise your guests. Bahamians are moving beyond jobs, wanting jobs. We want ownership which is being provided via the SPDC and other organizations. Let's stop dwelling on jobs, work on ownership, home ownership, and business ownership.
I can also respond to him with that. In 2013, the same small business loan program that he speaks about was ushered in under Michael Alkides and the PLP in 2013. We are happy that the Free National Movement is continuing on that initiative of small businesses, but we've seen what it did for us in terms of helping many persons receive small business loans to start their business up. So I'm happy that that continues.
Phil says, so Miller, no calls today, UPLP. Well, I will say to that, your pa may be a PLP, your ma may be a PLP, but leaving ain't no PLP. They would have been born when the PLP was in power, yeah? So they quite possibly are PLPs.
But Levan, isn't everyone entitled to have their own opinions?
No, but I don't know how you get to label me a PLP. I confess on this radio publicly and everywhere, even at the Water Notes, I is a I for Tanya FNM, and I will accept no other title. All right? I have the FNM with 21, PLP 18. I'm counting 22-16-1 text writer. Let's see if me and you could come to some middle ground on that. Pia Glover has people, a number of persons in front of her office regularly. The issue I have with this as a young voter is that I cannot go there to discuss policy ideas because everyone is there.
Levan, let me interject with that, please. Miss Glover's office, she has one side for the kitchen, the other side for her office where she could go and meet with constituents on a regular basis. She has been doing that because when I went in and visited her, I've also experienced it when I met with her and we spoke for a few minutes in that regard. So I don't know where that person is going with that.
So what you're saying is that her constituency office is big enough to have a social side and an office side. If you're going there for socializing and meeting and greeting, you can go on that side.
Yes.
And then you can go to the other side, which is where she's actually holding office hours and meeting people privately.
Yes, indeed.
There you have it, caller. Text writer. So does she have a contact? She's on Facebook. You could actually find her on Facebook. She answers her own Facebook.
She's on Facebook, and I could also provide the number for them in a moment. Give me one.
All right, let me read this other one. This one here says, tell your guest, stop talking out of two sides of his mouth. He didn't see the floats they had with the crowds, not social distancing. This other one here says, good morning, Mr. Miller. Great show. Can you please ask them to give you a longer time? We love your show. Okay, well, let me tell you how to get me a longer show. His name is Dwight Strawn. That is the guy that's responsible for allotting show time. You may want to call The Guardian and ask to speak to him or send him an email and tell him you love me very much and you could listen to me longer and listen to me. I would be so happy to provide the product for you. All right? Obi, we're almost out of time. What are your final words?
Levan, I just want to encourage persons right now, one, to listen to Progressive Liberal Party's virtual rallies, which they will get our message from our leader, our deputy leader, and our talented candidates team. And also, take a look at the BLP's Blueprint for Change, all of our transformative policies, and also how we're going to reduce that to 10%, which is going to, and our policies are going to transform and help the small man in this country, which we have always historically been known for.
And again, can I get you to agree with me that Darren Henfield coming out of Abaco?
No, that could be it. No. Not for what I know.
I want two, Obi. You got to give me Darren out of Abaco. That's my commanding officer, and I'm not going against my CO.
I understand that. All right. Like I said, Abaco may produce twins for the Progressive Liberal Party because the strength on the ground down there, I don't go against them.
I want Dwayne or Elizabeth because Papa want Dwayne. And I said, Papa, listen, but me and Papa are inseparable.
If Papa wants Lizzie, he should have run for Lizzie himself.
Thank you for coming, Obi. I appreciate you.
It
very
is my
much.
Pleasure, Levi.
It's been fun. I tell you, I wasn't going to get to this phone line. Not because I is a PLP. Your pa might be a PLP. Your ma might be a PLP. But you sure? It ain't me. All right? Anyway.